member. House honorable member and officials parliament. Are you fine? Okay. We have agenda. I want to take this opportunity to open this meeting officially. And let's look at our agenda, members. We are going to meet with the department later, but we thought it's important that we should have our meeting and be briefed, give the professor an opportunity to brief us and ask questions so that when we are going to meet with the department, we have actually dealt with the matter. We don't have enough time for that. But I'm going to allow the researcher to take us through quickly and have some few minutes for questions. But before we go into that, can I recognize apologies, any apologies from members? We have one from Honorable Mandela, who is the representing parliament in Swaziland. And the other one will, for 52 minutes, that will not be with us due to attending other meetings in Johannesburg. And Ms. Kengwa, Mr. Kosea Kengwa, is unable to attend the meeting because the meeting is clashing. We have to be now. I've never seen I hope one day we'll get time to come to be with us. So we just not see him debating on our issues without being in the meeting. So I hope he can prioritize within agriculture on this busy schedule. But we want to take the opportunity to acknowledge the apology. So can we then allow the researcher to take that through? Yes, ma'am.
Good morning, honorable members, colleagues. I trust all honorable members have received the brief via email and have had time to look at it. So I'll just try to quickly highlight some of the issues that I think are important. The brief that you received, it starts with looking at the obligations that the South African government has to ensure food security. So it's looking at the Constitution, the Rome Declaration, which is under the United Nations, and also under the African Union, what are the obligations that we have as a country, and clearly the state must make provisions to ensure food security for all citizens. So that's just the first aspect. And then the second aspect is how agriculture is related to ensuring food security, and it just gives us that background. And then on page two, we also look at the context-specific food security situation in South Africa and how many people actually are affected by it. The figures have started to slowly decline. If you look at the General Household Survey by Statistics South Africa, those figures have decreased from 88,000 people who would experience, or children who are severely malnutrition, to 23,000 children. And so on it goes. Even the study by HSRC, which is the National Health and Nutrition Survey, it also found similar declines in the number of people who are either experiencing hunger or who are undernourished or who have no access to food. But the one important aspect that has not been adequately addressed is the number of children who are stunting, or children who are not growing and developing normally, that number is not decreasing. So we're seeing our children in South Africa are not getting the adequate nutritional balanced diet for them to grow and develop normally. And that's also slightly important if we're going to look into the initiative of the department and how it tries to address that. And then there's an entire aspect of how the agriculture sector itself, outside of food security, but how it offers income earning opportunities for the rural poor, that's also an important aspect that must be adequately addressed over and above the household food gardens type of strategy. The other important thing that members must know is that the food, generally people who are food insecure, it is because they do not have enough income to be able to purchase food. That's a major issue in South Africa. And so in as much as we have a strategy that will look into production, but we must keep in mind, how does that production translate into income earning opportunities, or how does that translate into small, medium, agro type of enterprises through which there's broader economic development, but people have money to access and to purchase food. So that will be quite important. And then if you look at the overall policy responses by government, it's been acknowledged since 2002, and then there was a strategy document published then. And again, in 2010, it was the food security issue was prioritized in the State of the Nation address then. And then in 2013, there's been a national food and nutrition security policy that has been drafted by the Department of Social Development. But we must also remember that FESASALA in itself is not a standalone program, so it must be seen within that umbrella policy. It falls within the policy, the food and nutrition security policy, and then there's several different initiatives by several different departments. The departments that are involved in all the initiatives, it's social development, basic education through their feeding schemes, Department of Health and Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. And so what the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries has chosen to focus on is just the production side. And so we'll just briefly look into that. In terms of production, it's the 1 million hectares that they want to bring under crop production, that's one. So, but you would also understand that a balanced diet, it needs, you know, starches, it needs micronutrients, it needs protein, there has to be all these elements. So, but they're only focusing on crop production. And in terms of that, the strategy is supposed to focus on poor and indigenous communities. But food security in South Africa is not only an issue for rural poor, but it's also for the urban, peri-urban and informal, people who are in informal settlements. It's quite a huge problem there. So now how do we allocate land in such areas? And I mean, what's the possibility of being able to reach the 1 million target if we're going to also try and target people who are in peri-urban areas? That's something that should be looked at. The issue of declining productive land in South Africa is quite a major issue. So if you look at, on the national scale, if we can produce enough food that people don't have access to it, but if we continue to see declining agricultural, productive agricultural land through to mining, through to game farming or residential development, then that will have an effect in terms of how much land is productive arable land that is available for use for agriculture, especially in terms of the district level management of the land use and rezoning of land. That will also be quite important. If you also look, as I mentioned earlier, the issue of being able to create income generating opportunities for people within the sector, it's also quite important to then look at the type of jobs that can be created through agriculture. So the strategy must not just focus on production alone, but you know all these other issues they should be catered for if we are going to achieve food security. Of course, the issue of the rapid rate of urbanization, I've already touched on that, and how quite a large population that is affected by food insecurity is in peri-urban areas. What came out from the strategy documents of the department was the costing of the plans is not quite clear, and it might be also slightly overestimated. and given the type of how they choose to deliver the program, it will be targeted at households. It's really on a subsistence level, not even at a small scale level. So some of the cost implications that they've indicated, they might need to be re-looked and reworked. And again, if you think of subsistence and you remember you think of programs that the department already has, you have CASTI, you have Ilimalitima, and how do these impact on Setatlala, or how do they link with Setatlala, and what's the plan thereof? The plan is meant to focus on five areas or five pillars, but still, under each pillar, the actual issues that must be dealt with are not thoroughly articulated from the strategy document. And I think the important thing here is, if the issues are not thoroughly articulated, then it means how we design the program. If we're not sure of how we want to achieve food security through these five pillars, then how the program itself is designed becomes inadequate. And when it comes to implementing the program, chances are you will not see the kind of results that you want to see. So it's important to get the strategy right, and then you get a proper design of the program and how it's going to be implemented on the ground to achieve the desired results. So there's quite a number of issues under the different pillars that we've looked at, and that's on page 7, but I will not go through all of them. And what members must note is that I think the department is working towards linking CAS to Setatlala. So they're using the CAS funds to implement Setatlala. But I mean, if you look already at the CAS program performance and you link it to the Setatlala projected figures of land to be brought under irrigation, there's a lot of discrepancies there. Sometimes, in terms of how some of the funding is allocated, there's also some huge discrepancies. I mean, if you look, something that I mentioned earlier, that the costing of the plan must still be reworked and it might be overestimated. I mean, if you look, the Eastern Cape had failed to meet its targets in the 2013-14 financial year by 6,000 hectares under CAS. But you look now, they've moved that into Setatlala. Allocation there has gone up to 143 million, and they're still supposed to plow 17,200 hectares. So a province that had failed by 6,000 hectares, you've more than doubled the expected area under cultivation. So, I mean, what are the plans be? Is the actual support to provinces to deliver? What is the plan? And those issues don't really necessarily come through. Some of the things, I mean, if you look at how it's those discrepancies, Limpopo has been allocated 59 million rand to plant 46,000 hectares. But Mpumalanga province has been allocated 109 million rand to plant 33,000 hectares. The hectareage that must be plowed is more or less similar, but the budgets differ quite significantly. And so, you know, how we plan to allocate to provinces and how that will impact on the service delivery on the ground and what it means, I mean, that will be quite important. And, I mean, this area is not only just about the budget and the number of hectares that must be plowed, but we also need to step back and, as a country, and identify where are the most food insecure households and communities, and how does this budgeting and hectares to be brought under production going in that direction to actually have real impact on people who are hungry, people who have no food. So that will be quite important. So I think those are some of the things that the department should have tried to, the ground that they should have tried to cover in the strategy document. And once we have those covered, then it becomes, I don't want to say easy, it's never an easy task, but it becomes possible then to design a program that will have impact on the ground. And if you design your program correctly, then obviously to implement that, it becomes something much doable. So I think those are the issues.
Can I get members to get clarity? By the way, she's not the department. So you should not forget that she's not the department. So you can just raise question for clarity for you to further your understanding. Can I get members to ask questions?
No, thank you, Chair. And I think, Chair, thanks to the research unit, I think this is quite very, very, very clear in what actually we should be looking at. Now, the main thing is that the clearly articulation of the image, I think that is most key, an articulation on the image, because if we get that clear, it will also assist us in addressing or linking the question of the land capability, cultivated land, and the capacity around the issue of cultivation, land, and everything. So I think that question becomes very, very, very strong. There is, I don't know if he had something in mind, or is it a matter that we must wait for the department also to explain. I think these are quite researched issues that I think the department should have answers, because it shows that there have been quite a very deep level of research that have been made in this document. That is my comment, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson, and also thank you to our research team. Chair, there's two things that I think that we might maybe, with the meeting now with the department or after that, concentrate on a bit more, and maybe this is something that we need to give to the department that I picked up. And the one is, and I'm not always sure, and there are discussions in the past also on this, the decline in people experiencing hunger. And I read somewhere that with this research that was done, I think in Limpopo, it was found that most of the people that find food is because of their own food production on a small scale. But that doesn't seem right. If you look at Limpopo and the Eastern Cape province, that has the most people that's hungry. And I think also it is supposed to be the provinces where most people will have access to land and plant. So I never understand that. Either the research is not then done in other provinces, so we need to find out if they do the research on how many people experience hunger, if it is done only maybe in that province. Because I just don't understand it ever, that people in provinces where they might have access to land, like in Limpopo and the Eastern Cape, where many people live on land in the rural areas on land, they have a higher number of people hungry. And then they also say at least they have access to land and their own food. So we need to get that balance. I don't understand that. That's the one thing. And then the second thing is that the research between 2002 and 2012, where they found that more people or less people experience hunger, have they found what the reasons was for that and what is the basis for that? I didn't pick that up really. I didn't read your documents, the pool documents, unfortunately, the research documents, because I think then that's the things that we need to focus on. And then just lastly, Chair, I always say, and I think we need to also talk about that, is that it's not always access to food, and it came out, it's also not having the money to buy food. So I think, you know, we need to maybe ask the department, what are they doing? Because that's where they need to come in with massive things where people can't plant their own food to eat, but they must be able to sell it so that they can make some money. You can't just eat beans or maize every day if you can't sell it. You have to have access to sell and to get more money. So I think those are the three things that I would need to get some more clarity on. Thank you.
Okay, I think looking at the whole national food security strategy, which is the national framework, which actually divides the interventions from each department, and you don't get the complementary roles of this department, because I think one of the things that we have to request department to look at, though they are focusing on production side, then we should then look at the our intervention, even assisting to offload the budget for social development, such that the intervention we should actually get these some of these people who are getting grants to be productive, so that we can offload them within the system. I think that's one of the things that we have to look at. For instance, if we work with rural department, work with rural development, get in each province a farm, just put these little mummies in the farm and link them to a school, produce, sell to the school, their kids eat at the creches and at the school, and they become productive. And then if it's a program for 4 years, you could find that by after 5 years we have offloaded 5,000 people within the system. That's the first thing. and the other thing is the issue that the researcher is raising on the challenges of food insecure is not only in the rural areas, but the program specifically targeting rural areas where there is communal land. Because in urban areas, by the way, you don't have land. it's targeting the rural area, communal land, to make those lands productive. But again, in rural areas, there are no water. That's another challenge that we have. The second element is that means that department actually their plan is supposed to be ready, so that because they will be used targeting rural areas, they must be sharp on time, looking at the rainy season. Immediately when the rain starts, already now we're supposed to have department preparing the land for cultivation. So those are the things that and this I think we must just say that at least there is something to work on, because they've launched it in the last financial year. What we'll need from them is then out of what they've implemented, what are the challenges and what are they intended to do to resolve all those challenges? Because if you look at the issue of mechanization, if it's not addressed, you're going to have a problem. The issue of food, seeds and manure distribution, if it's not addressed, you will have then problems. So we need that tangible program of action to deal with those challenges. And maybe just clarity. We talk about the policy, the strategy. What is it that we are talking about? Because I know 2002 there was a policy framework nationally. 2013, the department launched Festival policy, which was, and then the program was launched by the president. So, where are we? We should get this thing right, research. And, Honorable President.
Thank you, sir. Good morning. I'm glad, Chair, that you have highlighted the importance of a practical working relationship between departments when it comes to matters of as serious a nature as poverty alleviation. What I have noticed is that people in the level of like chief directors in the various departments like to guard their territory insofar as their budgets are concerned. And they want to spend their money within what they had planned to do, irrespective of how, if they were to engage with another department, overlooking the overall social impact that their individual budgets, if they were to be combined, they would have. And therefore, it becomes important for us, through you, Chair, to engage with the minister, with the ministry, and stress the importance of the type of operational planning, if I can put it that way. We must search for this, and the ministry has got to talk to the DG and the immediate subordinates to make sure that this becomes a way of doing business, because insofar as the national fiscus is concerned in South Africa, we should be talking really a lot of mileage in terms of reducing poverty. The other element is whether the Department of Social Development feels that it's an achievement for them to have more and more and more people on social security. Because if that is the thinking on the part of the job administrators in that department, then they are more than happy to keep so many people on the social security system, rather than to be saying, and this touches on the fundamental policy of our overall government, to say people should come on social security for a given period of time, and there should really be a structured program to get them off, so that we can get back that money to build more bridges, to build more roads, and so on and so on, if it's looking at the national system. We shouldn't have people, that department should not be excited to have more and more clients and staying longer and longer. And that's a political process. It's got to do with the national approach to how we do things as South Africans. I don't want to say ANC government, as South Africans, because this touches on everybody. If we have got more access on the national system, then the roads that we need, the schools that we need, and the clinics that we need, there will be access enough for us to, you know, to meet those other social needs, rather than having a bulky number of people who are on the social system. And so we need to engage with the minister specifically, you know, on those two areas. There needs to be a serious mind shift on the part of the chief director to say, hey, don't be happy just to use your own budget. And that is where this intergovernmental relations process, you know, really collapses. I've seen it, and people just don't want to buy. They would rather understand than help exercise department to achieve a similar purpose. Thanks very much for the opportunity.
Thanks, Honorable Sultan. I'm told the department is here. Can we get the researcher to quickly talk on the issues that we've raised? Yes.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Honourable Member Ramkhwasa, on the land capability, and I think the Chair has also touched on that, because it will be rain-fed agriculture, things that are not coming through, do we know in terms of the, you know, the rainfall that we get in some of these targeted areas and how that would impact on production? So it's quite important. Do we have any access to underground water in those areas so that people can have boreholes? Those things have not been really stretched out in the strategy. So it will be important for the department to look through. Mr. Steyn, in terms of the studies that people who are in rural provinces where there's access to land, yes, agriculture does contribute significantly to their income as a household. But what you find, because there's seasonality in that, so what you find, the basis of the household income really comes from the safety net. And I think that can't be overlooked. So that is quite an important source of income for many poor households in the country, and it has to be maintained until things are improved. And then in terms of the policy and the strategy, Chair, the policy is the National Food and Nutrition Security Policy. That's the overarching one. With regards to the department, we have not seen a Pesa Tlala policy document. So what we have is a what has been submitted is this is the Fetatala production plan or initiative, but there's no, and maybe that is why there's all these gaps. So we have not seen the policy document that's guiding what the department plans to do, and so that's something for the committee to engage with. And the estimates of people who are the less and less hungry numbers that we're getting, that those figures come from Statistics SA, and those are estimates, and they just do some random sampling. So it's not like we go to every household and we actually determine the food security status of the household. So the important thing there is, at the end of the day, even if we have a very well-functioning system, but if we don't know who are the hungry households, it still becomes a problem because, I mean, food security in itself is quite dynamic. A household that has food this month could be hungry in the next month, given the various type of shocks that households go through. So there also needs to be that information system that assists government at a national level or some kind of data. You should be able to know. People can report to a local counselor, social worker, whatever the case, and they get registered on some database that says, there's a red flag here, there's a household that's going hungry for the past 3 nights or whatever the case is. But this falls under a different department, social development, in terms of being able to have food banks throughout the country. We don't have, I mean, currently food banks are being run by NGOs, so we don't have a government type of system where there's a food bank where hungry households can go and get, you know, just a package that will put them through the next month or something like that. So, but those are all the issues that are there. But I think members, you're quite clear on the issues.
No, I think we are clear, we're ready for department. But I think the other issue that you have raised, which is important, is the this food bank and how actually it can assist. Because it is, as Honorable Sultan has said, social development does not have to get heavy when their system is flooded with the recipients of the social grant. They must be worried. And all other departments, because the issue of how many people to know that they go hungry, if we are serious as government, we could get that because they are there on social development. People are getting food packages within 6 months. What is it that other departments they are doing in the period of 6 months where these people, they are still getting food? Does the agriculture goes immediately after notice, after realizing that there is a family which actually getting food parcels? And they can get that through the social worker if there is collaboration. But unfortunately, because as Honorable Sultan is saying, our officials like to work as individuals. The plan are not interrelated, and they don't even want to work together. They protect their turf, a person rather, as Honorable is saying, understand the budget. So I think we should actually, as the Honorable is saying, agriculture should be seen as one of the programs, the department that can come up with the program that can intervene seriously in terms of issue of food security, but relieving people from poverty, again creating employment, and put people in productive, and then you need the policy. If they have not submitted, because I'm not sure whether they will agree that they have not submitted. But if they have not submitted, we need that policy. We should say the intervention, because the intervention is based on the challenges that are there, identified by the entire government. It's not about them just choosing to want to cultivate 1 million hectares. The intervention is about intervening on the challenge identified. So then the policy should then respond
to those challenges. I think that's where we should move. If there is no policy, there is policy they will give us now. If they said they don't have, and then can then make input what we want to see in the policy as a committee, which we think it can then intervene drastically. So in the intervention purposes, because this intervention must meet its objective of intervening. It shouldn't be like any other program. Like issues of mechanization. If a person can be able to buy a new tractor because he was given a platform to cultivate, participate in cultivation programs, it's a good thing. But how we do that in making sure that in those rural areas, indeed, you don't get those old men, because in other provinces, they tenderize these things where the tractor, as far as I'm concerned, doesn't have a license. If today they're saying they must go and register and they must have a tax clearance certificate, you say that old man must die, because they have been doing that work without anybody intervention. Now you are coming with a program. Instead of that program even assist with that old man, you are now saying tenderize, put on, you must register, you must have the name of the company. How do a person establish a company only on a tractor and on a seasonal work program? So those are the things that we want to see this policy and program intervening seriously, so that when the 5 years end, we should see people with tractors, people have increased their own incomes in the household. The last person is Honorable Sultan.
Thanks. In fact, as you were talking, some crystal thinking crept into my mind here. Something that we could put to the department as something to look, to try, in the concept of interrelations between the departments. Simple question to them that says, where does social department get the food parcels from? I did a little research back home. I actually went into the Department of Social Development in the Eastern Cape and I said, where do you get the food from? They said the bulk of it comes from SPAS, various SPAS. Now, there are many SPAS in the Eastern Cape. I don't know about other provinces. Now, you go to SPA, you find out where do they get their food from. Doesn't come, the bulk of it doesn't come from the Eastern Cape. Comes from KZN, comes from the Western Cape. Now, there's a cake for the eating by the Department of Agriculture to produce food specifically to make sure that the contents of the food parcels, which is a government program, come from the land on which those people live but cannot produce. Simple, straightforward thing like that. With targets. And then we could oversee the program in the next 2-3 years to see how much of the food parcels contents comes from where. Very simple, and we'll know if they are performing or not performing. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Let's call it.
No.
Actually, when the opposition benches now.
Some of the yield estimates, our conversation that we've begun with provinces around marketing, linking producers to marketers from the onset, one must say that that is something that which begs quite a lot of improvement. We raise the issue of the different models of delivery in the various provinces and how we plan them to strengthen monitoring, evaluation and reporting. The target that we're working towards links to a target in the medium term strategic framework is that by the end of the 2018-19 production season, 1 million hectares would have been put under production. Now immediately, if we look at that target as what was achieved in last year, what we focused on in last year, and what we are projecting this year, one can see that we are falling short of the million hectares, but we will come back to that for some of the corrective action is. Our estimate is that if we do it in the following the model that we are currently, we will need 1.4 million to plant over the MTSS. And that money is not available. When the Fesoplala program was introduced, it did not come with a new budget. We had in fact decided together with provinces to use, to reprioritize 70% of the cash budget and allocate it to Fesoplala to the production. The next slide gives an indication of what was planned in the previous financial year, what was achieved, and what the targets are for the current year. What it shows is that in some provinces there are not major, but there's some decreases in the number of hectares, but the projections are that we will only be able to plant 129,777 hectares in the current financial year. What is evident from last year's planting is that we were able to exceed the estimates. And exceeding the estimates has to do with the fact that provinces like Limpopo that I think they produce about 187% of the actual target. It's because it is the province that actually applied its equitable share to agricultural production. So that is not just the fit, but the total money that they had been allocated. In other instances where the achievement is at a different level, it is indicative of the fact that provinces only use the cash money that we have transferred for agricultural production. But in terms of these estimates that are and clearly table refers to rain-fed crops. It doesn't cover irrigation. It does not cover livestock. And so there are provinces like Northern Cape where we know the focus is the soil capability, and the topography does not allow that. It's not a province that focuses on crop production, but rather on livestock. But what will happen if we go to the next slide is that we always have, at the start, to just bring attention to the fact that we will, plowing has begun and harvesting, that will be led by the minister. In the planning, we are beginning to be more specific by drawing on lessons at the same time, Chairperson and honourable members. where we expect provinces to begin to tell us what crops they will be growing. The thing, though, is that Tresetala initially focused on staple crops only. And so there's a conversation that needs to be had, and there's a policy shift which I believe the minister will drive at MINDEC around. If we say that we have got to increase agricultural production of the correct commodities in the appropriate volumes so that there is more production available for local consumption, for agro-processing, and for export, then it can't only be staple crops. We will have to be looking at those high-value commodities for which there is a demand. And that is the focus that we are bringing in. Another issue also is that between our department, our forestry branch that looks at soil management, and ARC, the Agricultural Research Council, that has a soil institute, we know what can be produced in different parts of the country. So as a national department, we should also begin to influence provinces what to apply the money for, and how we achieve all of those areas, food security and enough production. So the part of the intent is that our producers must be linked to formal markets. But it's also a fact, and we just take in, this is nothing, this is a known fact, but one producer doesn't necessarily produce the volumes to be linked to a market. And therefore, when it comes to smallholders, the model that we've been working with is to put producers together in co-op so that they have the volumes for them to be able to negotiate the price that will be paid for their products, so that they are not forced to sell at farm gate price, but rather at market price. And there are a few examples of that. There are a few examples of cooperatives in at least two provinces that I know of. There might be others where we have put a group of producers together with the help of intermediaries, and where they supply the school nutrition program. Now, as a national department, our job is not necessarily to be doing the implementation, but because it's a concurrent function, we have to do that. It is the provincial department who has to do the implementation. But certainly from time to time, if there's something new that we are doing, we see ourselves introducing the pilot so that we can develop the models. When the NAMC, for example, presented to this committee a couple of weeks ago, they also gave examples of various projects around specific commodities where they have been able to make the linkages. The one that pops into my head right now is the example of baked beans that have been produced by Tiger Brand, and where 40% of their beans is being procured from smallholders. So I'm putting that data out there, but I'm definitely not giving the impression that it's an area that we have under control. It's something that we have to do more work around, as will be the offtake agreement. We mentioned there the World Food Program procurement process. And also, that is something that has been in operation for the past 18 months. But we can't put the World Food Program there as a solution, because that agreement comes to an end now in December this year. It was a two-year agreement. But what this procurement process showed is that the World Food Program, who adheres to particular standards, they require particular standards and certification before they will say this maize is fit for being distributed by us to countries in need, is that the World Food Program found the quality of the maize that's being produced by smallholders suitable for confusion in the distribution of maize that went to Lesotho. So, but I think that says something for the way we will be able to interact with markets. Because one area about markets is that while we must have a principle about providing access to markets, there are barriers to entry. There are barriers to entry for smallholders, and often there is collusion between groups of commercial farmers and the buyers to keep others out. And the World Food Program has demonstrated that our smallholders can produce maize at a quality that can be exported. What we're also interrogating in terms of a lesson is I know this house has previously asked took great interest in monitoring of the monies that we transfer to provinces. And so we've been interested in and curious about the models of delivery. We are really interrogating. I mean, one example in Limpopo and the Mpumalanga, in particular, I think KZN to some extent, the Northwest one to some extent, is where the provincial department themselves are implementing, doing the implementation. They procuring the seeds, they guiding the production, their professionals who are guiding the agricultural production. In other instances, like the Western Cape and the Eastern Cape, they would use entities. In the Western Cape, we understand they use an entity called Cathedra, which is an agricultural development entity, and Eastern Cape uses the Eastern Cape Rural Development Agency, and I think they use a combination of models. Then there are accredited intermediaries like Pilwana, who was used, I know, in the previous year in KZN and in Free State and in the Limpopo in part. And then in other provinces, Eastern Cape is the one province that has different modalities, where the officials themselves, they use intermediaries, but they also use farmers, where a practice would be put in the hands of a group of farmers in a particular area, and they would do the plowing for a farmer who are unable to do so. So we have further been asking provinces to break down those hectares even further. Because we've got a more detailed presentation somewhere here that begins to talk about if Eastern Cape is going to plant X number of hectares, in which municipalities will that be? So we have got that information available. And although our system also it requires the kind of detail, what is the name of the farmer? What are the coordinates? And we are able to plot it. And provinces have not been that good about providing that kind of information, but it should be, and we hope that by the end of this planting season, when you ask us this question about where has planting happened, that we're able to flash a map and show you a planting pattern that is geographically linked. So we have really agreed to strengthening this oversight on the planting. So we're bringing in some of our partners. I think Minister spoke to us earlier today about using some of the farmer organizations. There are different levels of experience in the sector, experience which the department doesn't necessarily have, who have been asking us, what is the cost of production? So we will be bringing them in to assist us with doing some of the monitoring and with the cost-benefit analysis that we will be doing. So, and I just put that forward to begin to say, at the end of this planting season, we are planning to have more data available than just number of hectares planted, because surely the dictum of what you measure is what you get is true. So if we don't ask the right question, expect the provincial department departments to give us that information. Some things might go missing for us. I've spoken about the verification so we can do the GPS mapping. We also plan to do some random sampling, even though HODs are expected to sign off on all of the reports. Before it comes to us, we as the accounting authority who is responsible for that money, we have to do the verification. So I think I've spoken to those issues already. That speaks to the reporting. I think that is in line with the cycle. When the planting season begins, we really have monthly reporting and also on the harvesting. I think that's it, Minister. Just so that somewhere in our midst we have more detailed planning of what municipalities. We've also paid attention to the committee's requests and concerns around mechanization. So since we were last before the committee, we had indicated that we have a draft mechanization strategy. We've gotten our provincial departments of education, of agriculture in around the table with us, and we send them a matrix ahead of time to say, where are the tractors? You know that there are different levels of mechanization. But for now, we only focused on tractors. But we said, where are the tractors? Whether they come from agriculture or rural development or municipalities. Who owns it? How? In what state is it? How is it being used to assist production? And at some point, probably in another 2 months after we have taken that report, we've made the outcome of that analysis, we've amended the policy, then we will be able to report on this. So I think just to give members the assurance that we understand our role, that we as a national department have to provide the policy framework for mechanization, recognizing that it was quite fragmented in the past. I'll stop there, Minister.
Thank you, Minister. You want to
just to throw in a few things to say that we will be meeting on Tuesday as a department to make sure that all these issues were able to quantify, hoping that that will lead to a MINMEC meeting in which we will be able to ensure that an agreement between national and government organizations, so that we are able to say by this time we have got so many tractors available and we have worked out on the issue of diesel procurement and all other related matters, so that when the first rains fall we are able to say this should be happening. We are busy also to correlate the issue of that as to what is happening with all the stuff, because they are linked to the issue of livestock and the rest. When we meet next time, I'm sure that we'll be able to tell you what the plan is, what measures have been taken to make sure that there's monitoring, to make sure that all the available funds are being spent in the areas targeted. That will relate to what will be shown after harvesting has been achieved.
Okay, thank you, Minister and the Department. Members, that was the presentation from the Department. I'm now going to allow you an opportunity to interact with the presentation. I'll start with Honorable Member. Let's go this way.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just said the DG saying that this fiscal year didn't come with a new budget. It's a program. So, can I get it clear whether this does not impact on other programs now that have been allocated monies? Because it seems clear that they're able to prioritize. It means other programs are going to suffer. Was there no other way now of budgeting for this fiscal year? Then I want to get clarity on the monies that are supposed to be transferred to provinces. How are these monies transferred in terms of percentage? At what time? Because the department, we are supposed now to transfer certain monies to provinces, such as what to get your how are they transferred in terms of percentage and when? Oh, I think I'm covered now because I was going to ask a question on the distribution of sectors, but I'm covered by the minister. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Just going to page 5 of the presentation on plan for 2014-2015. There's an interesting feature of the thing demonstrated there. Eastern Cape, he plans to do 13,415 hectares. You achieved just about 50%, and now you're planning more than double. It's a little bit difficult to comprehend how you justify that. Limpopo, you plan 26,691. You are just about double that, and you're planning for a figure just below what you actually achieved. How did you get to that target, to that actual achievement? Because we're a little bit concerned about how you might have moved the funds around. Northwest was the last one there, plan 20, achieved 27, and now your target is about half. I don't know if at any stage the whole comprehensive, concept judgment on this may have been presented. Maybe I missed it, but judgment does not explain completely. I've moved down to something else. How the plan is going to, how the plan is going to be implemented. I know you're talking at a very high level, but the reason I'm bringing this up is because as much as you're talking at a very high level, the department is planning now to establish a new delivery or management, tool, MTT. Am I? What am I looking at? Am I looking at a different document? What other people are looking at? I see faces are questioning.
No.
Am I spot on?
No.
Okay, fine. I was worried. With...
No, you are protected by chair.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I just called you, especially for my colleague, good side, and I thought maybe I was looking at different documents. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Now, I get worried when government keeps on establishing institution after institution. What is the shortfall with regard to the current manpower that you have got, Minister, to run your programs that you're thinking of establishing now, the NTT? Why is it that you cannot merge what is already existing, to deliver, a similar program? And why do you have to go and establish it? I'm not worried about the budgetary implications there, of just the very concept that a new program for new manpower and so on, because that comes with its own challenges when it comes to management of time. I would rest my case there. I don't want to gobble up all the possible, questions. I want to leave space for my colleagues as well. Thank you.
No, thank you, Chair. I think, Chair, from the presentation itself, there's a lot understanding created now, and it helps at least that for me to show that the issue of this radical change on economic development is starting to come inside the agricultural sector, because looking at the presentation itself, things that we expected to appear, they appear. Now, what is lacking? It is the linkage. I think there's a lot of missing links that are not clearly talking to from this is to this one, is talking to this one in this manner. A colleague has said it, the first colleague, they have said it, that if you say, maybe there's no budget, and then at some point, the cash budget will be used to do something, it creates a gap, so that needs to be closed, and then the department also will have to clarify that one. Now, the other issue I want to talk about is on marketing. I think when one reads outside from the general spectrum, newspapers and so on, it's very interesting to see that now we are also, the department is also relevant. I remember on Sunday I read an article in the Business Times that was talking about checkers itself as a retail, dealing with agriculture from the farmers themselves, allowing doing things, producing up to where checkers is involved with some activities and so on. Now, what is lacking there also is a question of how is that linked to the local farmers around there. They may come, a colleague again has mentioned earlier on an issue of getting some stuff from a spa shop, for an example. But as you looked around, you find that the spa shop that is delivering to Limpopo is a spa shop in Durban. When there are spa shops there. Now, that linkage, if you want to talk to the crows of a locality, it's lacking, because now it will still not mean very good if these things will come from across and so on. When you say agriculture and land must benefit those people who are in that area. So that's also one serious linkage that I have seen also. Maybe the department has got to address us on how they are moving forward on that one. On the issue of the models now, very good models there also. Very good models there. But I wonder if in any presentation or the future presentations, we will be able to see the models unpacked as they would be going. Say, this model will work up to the monitoring and evaluation. Because that's very key to see if you apply this model. At the end of the day, who will be doing the monitoring and how? Because we need to pass a stage of giving ideas and stories. No, ideas are now enough. We are full of ideas. We want activation now. Now, if you tell us about the model, we must know so that we don't doubt the support that is going to come and say, we have said to support this issue. But that support is not seen. We don't see it. These people are still weak. They don't seem to be having assistance from anywhere. So we need that kind of thing. Right. Now, the institutional arrangement also. If it is not a new structure, what lessons have we learned from the previous one? Because colleagues also have mentioned that we have to shy away now from building structures and structures and structures. Every time it's a structure. Now, I believe there have been some structures. What are the lessons that we have learned that have brought us to this, what we think it will work this time? The last one, now there's another new dimension which I'm interested in, the issue of the district and local municipalities. They only appear at the end of the presentation when you talk about monitoring and evaluation. From the other processes, what is the role of district and local municipalities? In local government, you have what is called LED. Local Economic Development. We have what you call IDP. Now, once you take municipalities at the tail of the story, you must know that you are not going to have something working there, because things must be budgeted for. If you want them to play a monitoring role, that thing must appear in the IDP. They must be able to budget and plan for it, so that when it comes to a push, they have got money to do that. But if you say at the end of the day, the municipality is running monitoring, how do they monitor? Because monitoring itself is an aspect, a very, very key and expensive aspect that needs a fully fledged budget. Now, you can't expect a person who comes at the end of the story and play a monitoring role and then you expect something. But I'm saying generally now, I'm happy because the presentation, it talks to expected aims and objectives of the National Development Plan. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. For me, the first thing that needs to be put to rest is the policies on this. To ascend, we don't have it. I think we need to finalize that thing. The DG was saying the policy was communicated, and we hear that we don't have that policy. So that must be dealt with and put it to rest, because that's what we need. That's the basis of our work as this department. Chair, the development of agriculture, forestry and fisheries, again, it's a very complex department, and the nation is looking up to that department to deliver food or to address the insecurity of food in South Africa. Whether we talk what we are eating here, fruit and stuff, whether we talk fish, and a whole range of other issues. For us to be judged as the country, we need to be seen doing work on those areas. So if you don't do our work, the nation will be on us. But I think I'm happy about the planned meeting, because if you can't all of us under one roof with provinces, you know, panel beats everything under one roof, the ministry, the departments and provinces, so that we work towards one a goal. So that meeting, I think, will assist raised by the minister in that kind of fashion. Because we must also hammer this issue of this is not a new thing, it was there with a different name, Ile Malitsima. And all of that. But do we have something that says in this Ile Malitsima and other related programs, what have we done so that this program or this initiative feeds into that assessment of what we've done in the past? So I want to hammer on this, because I know it was raised by my colleagues, so that we learn lessons from there. That's another point. If we are all over, as we are supposed to, because we are a national department, if we are all over in terms of products, we say people of the Eastern Cape must all plow millets, and people of a particular province must all do this. They must also plow millets and all that. I think this question, Chairperson or Minister, through you, Chair, that says, I can see there a product clear in Limpopo. Let us have this very clear program so that we rely on Limpopo in producing this particular program, among other things. Producing one product doesn't mean you don't produce others, but the focus is this one. Oh, by the way, it was raised as an example of Malawi. one program, one product, so that, yes, so that we when we want that particular product, that province is responsible, and if we talk marketing, that's the product that will go out to the country. Because this thing of out to other countries before the country, for me, it's not workable. That product must feed this nation, but also must be some kind of a marketing tool. Marketing flats, I was told, they produce beans that make coke. there are many other examples of that kind of a program. Because we are that department that is producing. Lastly, the cooperatives, well, of course, it's linked with this one. I think I'm always excited when we talk cooperatives, because I know it's a success story in other countries. All these big companies and stuff, they started to be cooperatives, and they grow and they grow. Firstly, the co-op will be feeding those people, but it expands and produce big and become no longer a co-op, but a commercial, if it's a farmer, a commercial kind of thing. So I like the because that's what we need to do in boosting the economy at that level. And again, the president and the National Development Plan, ballooned by the president's speech, says we must develop those small farmers so that we feed the nation. And I think we must, as we do all this thing, refer to what our National Development Plan is saying, and what our president has been saying to us in the last. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm looking at the fact that Fetakala doesn't have a budget of its own. And I'm asking myself as to whether when the department develops or such programs like this, whether they check with other government departments as to whether they don't have similar programs that addresses food security or poverty alleviation. Because I believe when departments work together, they can win. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, unfortunately, I can't be so kind as the rest of the members. I've been here in the last 5 years in this portfolio. And I'm on record at the time when Fetakala was launched that it's just a name change for the sake of a name change. And if it doesn't have the budget and we don't see a proper program, it basically, what is the English word? It tells us that there is no program. You can't just change something and give it another name and launch it with hundreds of t-shirts and then call it something for food security. I'm really, Chair, we need to get a proper plan. To come and bring us this few pages thing to say that so many hectares was planted but we don't know how this impacts the people is not really giving us something. I'm really frustrated, Chair, with the document, and I'm kind to the minister, he's new, but the rest of the department is not new. I can't be kind to the minister if the rest of the department was here last time and the year before when we asked the questions. So, I'm sorry, Minister, but your department must bring us something. For the DG to say that they can get more information, we've been asking the information. Minister, we want to go out, to go and look and speak to the people on the land, even the land that was planted in the last year. at least we must have that information. We must go and see, because out of experience, what we get, and I want to thank the DG to say that we can get more information with detailed. Because I don't want to see that we planted 100 hectares. I want to know, on the 100 hectares, how much, where was it planted, what was planted in it, and what was harvested. Because part of the food security program is not so much that people don't have food to eat. It's also that they don't have money. So it must get to a point where we can actually give people money in the pocket so that they don't just eat the beans or the maize or whatever that the people on that land planted, but they can send their children to school and it can benefit them. So it's this kind of frustration that we have, that we keep on getting a document that to me tells me nothing. If I want to leave here tomorrow and go and see where the planting happened, I can't, because we don't get the information. It's not the first time that we're asking for that. So really we need to get that kind of information so that we can do oversight and come back and come with proposals and to assist also the department on that. Chairperson, and then I just want to ask on the document that we received, the Tetzatlala Integrated Food Production, I assume this is not the policy. The DG said that we were sent a policy, but it can't be this, because this is the Tetzatlala initiative, so somewhere we just need to get that clarity. We need to have a policy on food security. And I listened to some of my colleagues, and I agree with them. There must be a link with the other departments, but the Department of Agriculture must be, surely, the main leading department in food security. And I need confirmation that agriculture is the main leading department. We can't ask social development to be the leading department in food security. They could be the leading department in social assistance and other things, but agriculture must lead in food security. And that's what I want, Minister. I want you to stand up boldly and say, we are taking control of food security and the other departments must link in with us. We can't link in with other departments. And in some way, maybe it's because of budgets. Other departments have billions of rand and agriculture has got such a small number of money that maybe the other ministers don't look at the Department of Agriculture as a leading role in securing food for the country. So I think we need to stand up boldly and say we take charge and it's our role and the other departments must follow. And we've been on the oversight last year, and I can't even remember what is that section called when we went to Pretoria to go and visit the department that looked at rainfall and planting and harvesting and soil and all kinds of things. So all these things can happen. The Department of Agriculture nationally must draw up plans and say this can be planted in this areas and that can be planted, and must look at all kinds of things. And we must lead the provinces, not tell them what to do, but at least say that this and this and this and this is things that. And that is the kind of documents that we want. We don't want to see, you know, fluffy kind of things that don't really tell us anything. Then on this document, I don't know why it says secret. I spoke about it last time. A document of the Department of Agriculture that comes as a public record to Parliament can't be called a secret document. It's underneath there. It says secret. A secret for what? For who? Then also, Chairperson, on the Tetzatlala document, on page 2, it talks about the different lead departments. I don't even see rural development in there. It talks about social development, basic education, health, social development, and then agriculture and rural development at the bottom. It is also one of the concerns that I'm having, and I had it for a long time, is the link between, I would almost say, double counting between agriculture and rural development, because on provincial levels, the two departments work together. So we are never sure if we say that this happened in rural development, if we get the same targets and the same achievements under agriculture. So sometime we need to get a split between what is the specific role, and I don't know, maybe if it's difficult, you must say that it was jointly counted with rural development, or it's jointly, so that we know. If you say that there's 100 hectares planted, if it was a rural development of agriculture. So all of that for us is always confusing, because even if we go on oversight, you would hear it between rural development and agriculture, but you don't know where is the role and where does it stop. And then I just wanted to check on the presentation. For the 1 million hectare to be planted, 11.4 billion rand that's needed over the NTF. My question on that would be, Chair, if you look at the presentation that we received, and we look at the department's Wetsaplana document, page 4, where it talks about the trajectory, it's very far from each other, the targets in the trajectory. My question would be, what is the, and I think the DG or the minister did mention it, what is the discussions with the commodity organizations? Because if we look at the National Development Plan and the million jobs that's in the 5 million jobs in the National Development Plan, that was drawn up, as far as I know, with commodity organizations sitting down and planning to say that if we do this, we can do that. And all the commodities have said where they are. The National Development Plan divides it nicely into high job centers and all things like that. So what is the link between Wetsaplana and the National Development Plan and the commodities? Are you sitting together discussing how are we going to achieve that? Because I can say that today, the Department of Agriculture will not reach the target and lift South Africans out of poverty without taking the commodity organizations on board. And I'm not talking on behalf of any one of them. I just know that the only programs that I've seen that worked is either one or two things, where the neighbors help the farmers, or where the commodity organizations with their own initiatives help people. There might be a few small percentage of projects that it works with the Department of Agriculture or Land Reform or Rural Development, whoever involved. But government are not farmers. Get the farmers on board. And I want to thank the minister, because my information informally from commodity organizations is that there are talks. And that's good, because that's the only way. I can't see it happening another way. Farmers will be able to tell you exactly how much a thing costs, and you're paying too much for this. And that's another problem, Minister. There is overpricing. As soon as people know government are buying on behalf of small-scale farmers, they ask you an exorbitant amount, and you can just do so much little. So please, my plea is to take the commodities on board. And they want to help. I've never been to a farmers meeting or speaking to commodity organizations and they're telling me they don't want to help government. They want to help. Then just, Chairperson, the other thing that I wanted to ask was on the high-value commodities and things like agro-processing and things like that. What happened to the Massmart deal? In the previous term, there was a deal with Massmart to assist, and we never really got information about that. Is that still happening? Can we take it on to other... and then, DG, the World Food Program that is coming to an end... is there any possibility that we can sign another contract, or is it a sensitive stage at the moment? Can it happen again, so that at least that we know that we have a market for farmers? Because mostly that is the biggest challenge, that people can plant, but they don't have a market. And I've been saying also in the past, that's where we need to focus on. We need to help people with markets, because if you sit with food and you can't sell it, you know, you're actually getting worse off at the end of the day. Thank you, Chief.
one of the advantages of having a colleague like Ms. Stone, Honourable Stone here, is that she gets to ask, she knows the setup so well that she gets to answer all the questions that you're sitting with. But one of the things that I would like to know, and maybe I do not know, as being a new member, I do not know exactly where to go and look for it, is I cannot see a clear explanation anywhere of what Fetsa Tlala is exactly and how it hopes to reduce hunger, household hunger, through its programs. I've also had a question which she covered about the policy document, and what I'd like to know is when the department is going to produce or present its 5-year plan. And there I'm expecting to know what the plan entails and when it's going to, you know, the implementation, etc., etc. And one other question that I have, I see in the documents that 70% of the CASP money was channeled towards Fetsa Tlala. And I would like to know what has happened to the Ilima Letsema program. Is it still there or has it been incorporated into Fetsa Tlala? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson, and to the committee, other committee members, as well as our guests. I have basically two questions. It will be less than a minute. Going to your pillars in terms of the program, in terms of pillar one, it mentioned about arable land and the amount of land that we have in South Africa, 82.3% of them is regarded as farmland arable in, and also for grazing purposes. Now, looking at the amount that is being quoted in your document in terms of arable land, and the fact that during your presentation you have mentioned the importance of getting small producers together to form co-ops, the question then arises, how many land do we have in the hands of black people of South Africa? And if I say black people of South Africa, I refer specifically to colored Indians and Africans inclusive of that process. That's the one question. The second question in terms of pillar five, and I think it would be good, perhaps you might not have the statistics around arable land with you, but in future, perhaps if you can provide that information to the committee specifically for all provinces, and I would like to wonder specifically how much of this land are in the hands of black people in the Western Cape. In terms of pillar 5, it relates to capacity building. Now, if you look at the capacity building of small, I would like to say small-time farmers, to let them move up in terms of producing more products, what type of training are you providing to ensure, even for these farmers, and even if you establish co-ops, training needs to go with it to ensure that they can run their businesses successfully? That is my two questions. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you,
Honorable Joseph. Before I give it to the department to respond, I think Fetsa Tlala is an intervention program. Why do you intervene? Because as a Department of Agriculture, you have the opportunity. Your role is to make production. Why do we have to have this specific program? And
if the program was necessary in terms of your analysis, how you intended to achieve that, looking at the challenges of your budget, because the numbers that you are given there show me you are telling this committee that even if we are planning to achieve 1 million, we are not. One, first, if I just want to use the mathematics, million divided by provinces, you need at least each province to do 200 hectares. And now instead of them going up, they're going down, which is a challenge that we must actually deal with. And because this program is about intervening on food security to make sure that communities are secure in terms of food. And you have actually identified rural provinces in your case. But hunger is not in the rural areas only. It's even in urban areas. So do you have, besides this intervention, we understand this one as intervention. Can we get confirmation that as agriculture you continue doing what you're supposed to do as agriculture, even in other provinces that you're not, you have not targeted? Maybe if we can get clarity, how do you distribute this 1 million to provinces? So that when we go to province, fortunately, when the program was launched, I was part of the strategy. So I know that Limpopo was targeted 100,000, and we are unable to reach 100,000. We're at least 1,000. So, but the numbers there does not tally. Of course, they might have one because they are sending reports to national. They have changed so that it says they've overachieved. Not overachievement, obviously even with North, but Eastern Cape and others. It might be that when they were sending information to national, they said they've achieved when they've not, because I was there. We said, because as a province we allocated 200,000, so we should start with the 70,000. So we're at 51. Now it says that they've overachieved. So I think for us to get our story right is to have this meeting, Minister. I want to emphasize, as the Honorable Matebwane has said, it's going to be very crucial and important, because it will then close this gap, because no one wants to see herself failing. They'll just change the numbers, because you didn't have their program before. That's why they were able to change the numbers and say we have overachieved. But the other thing is the role of National Agricultural Marketing Council on the issue of marketing for the smallholder farmers. I know that we're still going to deal with your alignment with your entities, but I think they've got a role to play to make sure that what we produce does not actually end up not being used or not being marketed. And the other thing is I know that there is a policy. Which you are talking about the strategy now, which is the one that you're talking about. And members consistently they say they've not received the policy. So can we get the members the policy so that it can then, we could then rush this thing of policy strategy. This one, we understand, it's your strategy to implement the policy, the one that we have now. And the lack of policy then would actually make the department to have challenges, particularly in terms of issues that they've raised by members, mechanization, the distribution of inputs, and the coordination with actually farmers' organizations themselves, because this is federal, it's meant to intervene on particular areas, and then what's happening now with those farmers that they've been doing this thing, how do they become part of the program or increasing their scale? For instance, annually you will have ordinary households who actually produce 20 or 50 kg and then give it to your, what you call them, milling companies, and they'll actually every month go and take one bag of milling meal. And the challenge is in that particular kind that they get robbed. So why we are saying, what is the role of the National Agricultural Marketing Council? So that you protect these farmers or the farmers from being cheated by the like your Shoprite and Spar. Most of the areas where they've been attached to the spars and woodwares and other things, if they are, who's regulating the prices? Are we leaving these farmers' produce to the buyers, just to say, I'll take this finish with this one run, you take it or leave it, or do we have a regulatory mechanism? I think those are the issues that we're saying. This intervention policy can move us from point A to B, and we can see the success of it because the intention is very good, unless there are these tightening issues of regulation, and frameworks. Because if you don't have that, it's open for distortion in the process. For instance, like in where the mechanization, you're using ordinary, who's regulating for the tariffs? How do they charge them? Those are the things that we have to look at them. But lastly, the issue of integration with intergovernmental relations. As the Honorable Zane has raised the issue of agriculture leading, as you lead, how then do you make sure that other departments play their role with your support and you lead them? For instance, in social development, their budget of food distribution, where do they buy this food?
Yeah.
Why are they not buying from the small farmers? Do we have database of our small farmers? Can we, even if social development, I remember in Limpopo, when I was engaging with the MEC for health, that farmers can actually can sell their vegetables to the hospital. We're saying, how many farmers do you have? Are you sure that they're going to meet the requirements? So we should then be able to assess those. The regulation must actually help us to assess those people, so that you then attach provinces to this program of government, so that they can stand on their own. At least there you are, you are regulating, you have access to regulate the price. The price is not about a big business deciding on the for prices for themselves. So those are the issues that I think as we look as that meeting of prices must be able to look at those issues and close gaps and close gaps where the we've identified and the issue of budget rural development. Because for the department to reach the 1 million, because already you've identified the fallout. Rural development, they've got money for agriculture, which usually they dump it towards the end of financial year. Let them use it to make sure that the land, the restituted land, put on productive with your assistance. Let agriculture lead them to make sure that all the restituted land make proper research, you take your entities, you go there and help them and make sure that the land becomes productive and we can then reach that 1 million hectares. But just to say that we don't have money, we cannot reach that. Already your promise, the president has launched a policy to say that you are going to put 1 million hectares on productive, and it should be accumulative because we don't want to, it's not like, we don't want to see like what the EPWP project does when we say we have given 5,000 people jobs. At the end of the term, those people, they are on the street, all of them. So this one we expect it to be accumulative by 2019. It should be 1 million, not adding. It means that it should be accumulative, not adding the years, because then we'll go back. It's not 1 million. So I think that is the issue that we have to look at, and would appreciate, Minister, that you lead this program because it's an intervention, and we'll be behind you in the provinces to make sure that we achieve it. Thank you very much. UGM Minister, you can respond.
Thanks, Shepherdson. Thanks to the members of the committee for raising these questions. And the for instance, on the issue of targets not reached, we must explain that the department in its budget of 6.8 billion rands, 4 billion is distributed to provinces as a grant. Some provinces were able to plan in a way that that money is also used in development in agriculture. Hence, we'll find that in some provinces, they have done more and above the allocated amount. In the Eastern Cape, for it not to reach this target, among other contributing factors, was the fact that droughts where there's no irrigation methods also plays a role as to when you can plow. I've taken the question of saying, what does our research tell us that if there's no rain, you're planning to plant maize? What other crops can you be still focusing that will be of value to our farmers? It's the work I think we're engaging in, to find that farmers are not only locked into one crop. And I can tell you this, that work has been done to find what kind of crops can prosper in which provinces. Dealing with land degradation, you find that planting one product may be detrimental to the land care process. And I think as part of the meeting we'll be sitting on, it's not only on Friday, Shepherdson, we've heard that Friday has got other activities. If we want to make sure that we meet thoroughly, Tuesday is better, where we will make sure that as a department, we outline all the issues raised and how do you make sure that our planning is proper? When we come back, we'll give you exactly what should be happening. And in Eastern Cape, I can assure you, it was more of the time where we got rains. And sometimes the rain comes later and there are floods. You can't plant in the time you have planned to plant. The process is underway to make sure that we are able to see how does it fit with our plan of MMTF in this between 2015, 2016, 2018. And we believe that we'll be able to make sure that provinces are encouraged to use the equitable share as part of the broader program to make sure that we succeed. The problem before was the case that there were glitches between national and provinces. Something we're working very hard to break, to ensure that as we put money into provinces, we have got, in a way, be able to monitor happening. Question has been raised about coordination of departments. Let me assure you that we have met with the Minister of Digital Development. We have agreed to the fact that wherever land has been restituted, before they even begin to do that, our department is made aware. We plan together, we ensure that when that process is through, production will begin to take place. There are meetings that take place already by the two departments. The DG of DAF and the DG of the department are meeting. They are outlining a program that says, we are doing the same work. In some instances, they even go beyond giving land out. They also do production. We'll make sure that in future, when we give these figures, we're able to give exactly what has happened. Some of the questions are saying, we're given provinces maybe, how were they able to go beyond that? Is that discredit that we cannot be able to account what the department has done beyond what we've done the department? But I can assure you that there's been a discussion. With the Minister of Social Development, Chairperson, we had a meeting just to say this, that we need to work in a way that we as these related departments, work in a way that we know what treatment we will be looking for in terms of products. Because we want to make sure that there is a biasness towards small-scale farmers in all that work we're going to do. So those discussions are underway. We have just met with the Department of Tourism to say to them, can we work together where we can promote tourism through agriculture and look at the synergies between the two? That meeting is on because we know very well that we don't have a bigger budget to be everywhere. I can't argue for inefficiencies in the department because this is why we're meeting this weekend to say, what can we do to make sure that when money is in the provinces, we're able to make sure that our extension officers will be ready to work with those people. On the issue of staying talking of commodities, if there are more meetings I have done since we came on board, is to meet with farmers, commercial farmers of all. My last was yesterday with NAFU. But look, be able to come on board in a number of areas. If we want to deal also with the issue of the safety of farmers where they farm, we need to link them with committees around where they farm. And we request them to make sure that they do a mentorship of those small-scale farmers. Every I have gone, I have seen that farmers are willing. There is a work going on. 2 weeks ago, we had a meeting in Johannesburg to look at the impact of the proposed 50% land we've given to farm workers. The farming, all farming unions were there. They agreed to form their own group. What all agree upon is that South Africa is a place to farm in, and to farm in also that we're clear on policy issues and all that stuff. So that's work ongoing. We can't wish them away because they have got the experience, they have got the know-how. What has been lacking is where they compete with the smaller scale farmers for resources. So, on the issue of how to link farm issues of research on markets, I agree with you. I had a meeting yesterday when I was busy, and I don't know how many of the members here were part of the upper week in green overalls. Mm-hmm. And I can assure you, I had a meeting at Deng, one of the ambassadors from Japan. There is a space for our there is a market for our produce. And they told us we need to make sure that our inspections are improved of the kind of foodstuff we send to Japan. We're working on a plan to make sure that therefore we sign the MOU so that our products can be able, so that those markets can target the small-scale farmers. Processing of food has been raised. We're working on that. And so the document is already out to deal with that. So that we don't, and I agree with the chapter, with the need to say this, that to say that we need to say which crop can grow in which province. You can't plant maize in some of the Eastern Cape provinces, but growth can prosper in those areas. It is not making sense to say that you will plant this kind of crop in this area, because the kind of information must get from our entities is to say which crop can be in some areas in Eastern Cape provinces. In Eastern Kondolit, you can plant maize twice a year, depending how you use the facility, so that there is assistance to doing that. Do we help? We have funding for urban area. As said, besides this amount of allocation of 1.8 to CAST, there is also the 4 billion that has been given to provinces. What has not been happening has been because of saying, how do provinces use those allocations? Does all that money go to agriculture and all its impacts? What do we do to make sure that we improve agriculture and make sure that we create systems? The meeting with Menmek is okay. I agree with Shepherdson that we need to think from the same hymn book. We met before to say we can't do things in such a way whereby money is pumped. After being pumped, we don't know what it does. We look and we can win together with provinces going forward. Municipalities, I agree. They come in two forms. Municipalities have a role in agriculture. I was talking about them issuing tractors. I was saying that there should be one inventory that says tractors of so many were given to provinces. Provinces to municipalities, but we know where they are. And the form that will be able to do that is to account for every tractor, for every manure bought. And I cannot play down the issue of research to say, some provinces may not need the same kind of manure. When you buy, you must be informed that data says that, research says that, in this area, you need this kind of manure to make sure that you get the maximum output. How do you link Malisema and CAF going forward? And I'm sure this that, as we have been saying, that our reports do not give you that clear view. One of the reasons is this, that there is this overlap between what the government is doing and ourselves. So when we come next time, we'll make sure that our reports are such that can be clear of saying what is being done by us as a department, what is being done by rural development. And the issue of leadership, yes, I agree. We must lead on issues to deal with agriculture. Even if it means the layout of infrastructure on irrigation, we have to know where it is being laid out. It is things that a farmer has been given a farm, everything has been done by government, but no production difficulty because either we didn't know or we need to go in. It's what we're working on in the agreement where we have just raised with them. Ms. Kane, I wouldn't agree with you that you change names doing the same thing. I think when this program of the Tatlana was instituted, it was to create a focused approach because we're clear of the challenges we have faced with. So those failures must not be used to say we just changed names as if you are changing your clothing when you go to meetings. So that's an intervention. And I can assure you, when we bring with information as from this year going on, we'll be able to tell you that we've been able to reach our targets, but more than that, we can give you areas that has been done. Yesterday, I was able to get from one farmer who says, when food tractors were given to us, we're producing in an area of Mpumalanga, we're supplying our crops to schools for school feeding schemes. It's what I think we should work towards to say this, that if there's a small-scale farmer in an area, how do we link him with markets? And I've seen one product in KZN where local people have been assisted, issue are raising about the two roles of the two departments. When I went back with the Minister of Rural Development, people were linked to the sugarcane growers and millers. A portion of them was linked to chain stores who were buying their vegetables. How to make sure that therefore they are protected? We look at that and make sure that mechanisms that please make sure that. And I'm told that in some of the areas, because of storage facilities, people will find that when the price of maize is low, the maize produced by small-scale farmers is sold first because they don't have a dedicated to keep their own maize. When the prices pick up, other guys with the process for those who sell them. But it is through these discussions to make sure that the commercial farmers understand the fact that a win for small-scale farmers will give them a good standing in community areas. And I believe that we are just doing that as a development. The issue of the hydro processing and the agreement with MAFMAT, I think we'll come back with a report on that as to say, is that agreement still valid? It's going to be the DGS for the response to that. We will come to that. I think I have tried to summarize both of the questions. The DG will come in on some of the areas. But to say this, that we have to make sure that the dialogue that is taking place between the departments I have outlined must culminate where we come back and report to you this, that these are the projects that are planned in the forthcoming season, starting season. This, I agree with you that we don't have so big a budget. But I think we can mitigate. Remember, in 2013, presidents of Africa made a pledge in Mozambique that 10% of any country's budget will be used on agriculture. We can only do that by saying that these are the plans we have made to development of treasury. Therefore, we believe that we need more funds in the place. If you cannot account what we have been given, so little as it may be, that may be difficult. But I promise you that we will make sure that in the next meeting we've come to brief, we will not give you a report that seems to. But I think our report is clear. Our report is clear in a number of ways. DG, I don't know if you agree with me. It's just that maybe we did not put it in language that the honorable members want to hear. On the issue of land reform, let's wait and participate in the current debate on by Department of Land Reform, on the issues you are raising. How much land lays in the hands of black farmers compared to their white counterpart? And what are the plans to make sure that available land is being used to ensure that we promote? And I agree with you saying that when you speak of land, you speak of the groups you have mentioned. But can we make sure that we participate not only in this one, but also in the debates that take place in land reform going forward? I'll give it to each person to take some of the areas I could not have unanswered. Where I could not answer properly, it's not that I'm hiding something.
Thank you, Minister Chairperson. There was a direct question, Minister, about how our money is transferred, and the simple response to that is quarterly. About a new, are we putting in place a new entity? No, we are not putting in place a new entity, but it's specifically addressing the fact that our monitoring system processes has been weak, and how do we center and how do we do the necessary verification? How do we pull on some of the people on board, our entities and some of the commodity groups to assist us? So it's just doing things differently, because if we want a new outcome, Minister, we can't continue to do things in the same way. And on there's a question about checkers and the markets, etc. I think when the chairperson raised the question about the regulations, which we should add some more information, but very interesting is that we have got a unit that looks at markets in particular, and they produce the quality requirements for the smallholders to have access to the open market. So smallholders could have access, pick and pay, ShopRite checkers, supply correctional services,
Department of Health Facilities and Basic Education. And so there were quality-specific standards that have been developed for some of the commodities that farmers, smallholder farmers, are using in their production planning. So we are also in the one of our entities, PPECB, Perishable Product Export Control Board, and SABS, the Strategic and Bureau of Standards, assist us to certify the quality of produce from smallholders so they can access some of the markets. And already more than 100 orders have been undertaken to certify some of the production systems. But Chairperson, it doesn't cover all of the people. Based on these orders in some of the commodities, we will be able to expand that and clarify the policy. And in terms of the MassMart deal, that fund is coordinated by the Economic Development, by EDD, and we will follow up on that, and indeed we can come with an answer to that. I think there was also a question on about the policy. I think it's the simplest thing in the world, Chairperson, to just after this meeting, resend it. I'm very confident that it was said. In fact, Honourable Joseph was reading from the strategy document when he was talking about the land capability, et cetera, et cetera. I think there was one more question. I think NAMC Minister can talk about for themselves. I think there was a question also about what exactly Sector Clala intends. Yeah, I think, yeah, Minister, you, yeah, answered it. And then there was a question on whether we could present a five-year plan. We have, in fact, presented the five-year plan to this committee and to the NCOP just before your budget vote. I think we indicated in terms of the arable land, and honourable members are correct, ALC has got the Soil Institute, and I indicated in my presentation that between our entities and our department, we know what can grow in particular areas, and we will more and more begin to influence the production in that way. Under the issue of tariffs, maybe, Minister, just a comment here, that is something I think has to be handled at a cluster level, and already the ministerial clusters are looking at that, because, I mean, there were particular state decisions made around trade liberalization quite some time back, and so, I mean, we don't impose the tariffs as Department of Agriculture, but certainly it is something that we that is being looked at the cluster level. So I think this is just a question from NAMC, Minister, would like Ronald to respond to that.
Thank you. The focus on the NAC participation on and focus on a number of issues. One is that we are part of the management team that oversees the WFP contract. As you know, all the WFP doesn't differentiate between smallholder farmers or any commercial farmer that supplies them. So there are requirements before you can get into the database in terms of supplying WFP. And the requirements are very clear. So we ensure that those farmers who are participating meet those conditions in order to get into the WFP supplier database. The second part is that if you look at the WFP sources, 1 million tons of maize in South Africa a year. So even when the contract ends, all those small farmers who are in the supply database will then continue to bid for any request that WFP has for the rest of the African market that they service. The second issue is that all community organizations that want to participate in the Sekatela program, GFADA is a case in point, in the grain industry, they do that through us. The third issue is assisting in providing additional markets, a case in point, a all procure us a lot of grains in the Eastern Cape to service their feed markets. Then the last issue is addressing arbitration issues that could exist between a supplier and the buyer. Those issues might relate to price as well as quality of product that has been delivered. So we'll provide that arbitration service when those problems occur.
Okay, I still a number of hands wanted to follow up. Unfortunately, my time does not allow you to, because they must actually present on the alignment. Can we just write the question or give it to them so that when they come, when they are coming to, because already Minister has said they are going to have a meeting. The meeting will actually look at all these issues that we have raised, and they will then actually come back to respond. And next week, on Friday, we are dealing, Minister, with the first quarter, which is your first quarter, by the way. We will not have any excuses of you. That's your own strategy and APP. We'll be dealing with them. So that we'll then get a chance to deal with other issues. So, because I don't want us to miss that one. Because you are not alone, Honorable Stein. Already there are three hands.
It's a question at all.
Yes.
It's about the money, the funding.
Okay.
Okay,
let me recognize all the hands then. So, let's start with you, Honorable Stein, Honorable Matopwane, and then Honorable Holkar.
Thanks, Chair. It's just a question of the funding. The Minister and the DG mentioned 1.4, but the document says 11.4 billion. It's quite a massive difference. We need to know if your cost is 11.4 or 1.4. It makes kind of a few zero difference.
Okay. Thanks for the opportunity, Chair. Just one simple question, Chair. It's a question of alignment of the Festival Plan with the 2014 APP. This intervention is supposed to be based on premise on five fair factors: land, capability, mechanization, production, inputs, and so on. But the document that has just been presented steers very clear away from those. In other words, the document, Minister and DG, is rather very scanty. It does not give us the answers that we need. You know, my major question was, what is FEDRA PLALA? And that question has not been answered in any direct or indirect form. I heard the DG say that the Minister responded to that, and we still do not quite know, because there's so much detail that we do not have. I agree, Chair, that we don't necessarily have to have answers now. I want to be, to cooperate when it comes to that. But it is fundamentally important for us to have these issues addressed, because this is a very, very crucial element, poverty alleviation. So we don't want to be woolly when it comes to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member. We still expect a lot of answers have not been very adequate.
Yeah.
So we're still going to have time to engage with them. But at least we have a clue. Even if tomorrow we can go outside, we'll know what we look for. And we'll appreciate, DG, that by the end of tomorrow, because the police is here, can we get it through the secretary, and then it will then be distributed to members, such that we are able to link discussion that you have and the policy that you have researched. And thank you very much, Minister, for the response. I know that we expected the language that we would understand, and we'll not get that, but as we work, because we'll then be able to reach each other and start to understand the language better. We're now going to ask the department to lead us into maybe starting from, as we have received your strategy and APPs, we have realized that there is no alignment. That's what we have seen it through your documents with your entities. And we then, as a result, I hope, Minister, you have even received the letter from the speaker, which actually indicating that the budget and the APPs has been adopted with the recommendation from the committee. One of the issues was the alignment. And we today we single out the issue of alignment precisely because we want you to, as you're going to implement your APT, at least all your entities are following the department. They don't take other directions where you have a NAMAC establishing your what do you call this thing? This livestock, what was in Beggarsport in town. You ask yourself, what is it that's going to do in Beggarsport? You have all entities following the priorities and the priorities and the departmental objectives. All of them. So can we then get how the department from that meeting have managed to do that, and including the provinces, because we said that majority of your budget has been implemented by the province. We must get national departments to get provinces to implement the national priorities, because the money is about that. It's not about giving them so that they can dish it out the way they like it. It's about addressing the needs as identified by the government. Can we get that DG? I've seen you send them the response. Can you take us through the response?
Thanks, Captain. The DG will just do that. But as when we came on board, we have made the point that we meant to meet with all the entities so that we create a cooperative atmosphere between entities and the department so that they are responsive, as you are saying, to make sure that the work they embark upon assists us as we carry on our work, be it in livestock, be it in research, be it in goods that are being, or food that are being exported. But the DG will expand on the matter. But I can say that there is that cooperative element or arrangement between the entities and the department.
Thank you, Minister, Chairperson, honourable members. The presentation that I think it's very generic. If I listen to what you've said and what we've put here, then it looks like we didn't go to the spot, because we talked about, so we assumed that you wanted assurance about the oversight and that we are that we plan together, that the entities in fact engages with us at the planning stage, that they're part of performance reviews, etc. So I think that is where the presentation focuses on. And I think the first point basically is saying, while there is these entities that is brought to Parliament through us, the Agricultural Research Council, the National Agricultural Marketing Council, Order Support Biological Products and Perishable Products Export Control Board. They are entities of state. They belong to the whole of government, and they report through us, but they don't only belong to us. The entities presented their strategic plans to this committee. I think there was also a point being made that they are expected also to be self-sustainable. Response, Chairperson, to how we forge alignment. There are mechanisms for planning together. There are when we are engaging the MTSF, we do work together. But in the funding that we give to the entities would also pertain to specific projects that is in line with their competency. The CEO of NANC has just made reference to when there is a need for arbitration between a supplier and somebody who buys their a producer and somebody buying their products, NANC will intervene. NANC also did all of the work around SIP 11. The SIP 11 report, which is tabled by the Department of Economic Development, that work was commissioned and done through NAMC. We have also agreed with Rural Development and Land Bank and National Treasury. That's one of the ways in which we don't double dip, I think you raised that question, Chairperson, is to have a common database, to have an agricultural information management system, which all of the departments can have access to. So that begins to give us credible information. NAMC is doing that for us. We've reported previously if one of our strategic objectives, particularly the one on agricultural production, trade, improving agricultural production and trade and employment. One of the areas there is the Livestock Improvement Scheme, the KYD. That is a program which Agricultural Research Council is managing on our behalf. So, the point is that, that there are public entities that are required to have, they've got their own mandate, that are required to have their own strategic plan, and I don't think that the idea is that they should, their plan should look like a 10th Department of Agriculture, but it actually should be specific to their mandate, and we are respectful of that because entities do have their own accounting authorities. So, what we can say is that in the past, I don't believe that there was really a structured relationship between our cooperative governance, between ourselves and the entities, where I think there were limitations in the extent to which the department at the technical level supported the minister as the executive authority to exercise that executive oversight. But we have worked in the last couple of months tried to strengthen that. I mean, what is in place are the formalities. The entities would present their course, their strategic plans, reaches Parliament through the department. Their quarterly reports comes to Parliament through the department. So if we go to slide 7, Tito, it there begins to talk about how we plan together so that there is and is a planning process that we do together and also the quarterly report. I think so it is institutionalized and anything we've got records to be showing for that. I think the next slide in terms of reporting, Chair, that we have the I convene a MINTEC meeting that prepares for ministers, a MINMEC meeting with the MECs. So the CEOs of our entities and the HODs of provinces meet just in that meeting together, where we actually talk about key issues. One of the things that we have got on the agenda now is, for example, the role of agricultural colleges. That if agricultural colleges go to higher education, what is the role that we want to be playing in that? Also, APAB is on the agenda between us. Then we have further recognized that in the past, the CEOs of entities actually didn't have access to the DG or the DDG, and almost you had a CEO that was the accounting officer was almost relegated to be dealing with another official. So we have begun to institutionalize quarterly meetings. The other thing that we're also working towards is for a shareholder compact. I know that other entities have it, so that there's a shareholder compact that is signed by the minister as the executive authority and by the chairperson of the board as the accounting authority. So I just believe that going forward, also I'd like to think that we actually, our entities are fairly aligned, that there is that alignment. If one considers, if I can use PPECB's example, PPECB, although its operations are funded by industry in a way is its bosses, but it performs a regulatory authority. It's a standards authority in terms of legislation that is in our control. So all that I think, Minister, we can commit to is to continuously to approve alignments as the Minister interacts with the board and the CEO and the DGs take that forward. But I don't believe that the APPs can be a duplication of ours. What we probably have to do is to be more apparent about the linkages or maybe lift that up in the reporting that the entities does on a quarterly basis.
Thank you, DG and honorable members. That is information. I think we are not saying there should be a duplication of APPs. We are saying the alignment in which where everybody plays its role, but supporting, because there is the only one executing authority, who is the minister, who actually was given a mandate to deliver on the priority with regard to agriculture. And therefore, all the your entities must actually work towards supporting the minister. I think that was very clear. We are not saying they must duplicate the APP of the department, but we are saying that the priority, because the minister has got, obviously has even signed the contract with the president with a particular objective, the outcome objective. So all the entities must actually support those outcomes. That's what we are saying. We are not saying they must duplicate the APPs, and their presentation as we've interacted with them, we've actually identified that weakness. That's why we said, can they, you as department, convene them and be able to look at the APPs and align them? That's what we said. Honorable members, that is the input from the department.
Thank you, Chairperson, and I also thank you for the department to work on this and to give us more clarity. Just one or two other things that we have mentioned or have mentioned in the past and asked for is again back on my initial thing that when reporting happens, sometimes we get reports on, say for instance, the livestock of a Pekatlala or something, but it is with the involvement of the ARC or one of the other entities, but we never get that information like that. So when we read the reports of the entities, we basically see, oh, this was done by ARC or this is done in conjunction. But we never get it when we get the reports from the departments. It's not that we want to see, but it would just clear things up in our minds. Where is who involved, and also that linkage is something that we lacked. One of the other issues that I was on, and I think the DG or the minister mentioned it, is the animal production scheme. And the thing that I've been raising, and we could not really get to a point, is the whole thing of research and vaccines and development. Because as I understood it, in the past, ARC and OBP was one institution or company or whatever. And I don't see the link. I've asked the question to DAS, to ARC, and to OBP. Again, who is the leading person? Who must take the lead in saying, we need research on this or this thing for our animal production and health of production in our country? And no one can actually tell me, because the one says it's my job, the other one says it's my job, and no one is taking the lead. So it is something that concerns me. So if there's an outbreak of animal diseases in South Africa, who is the leading department? And it must, again, be Minister, it must be the Department of Agriculture. It is your role to ensure. So somewhere we must strengthen the role of the Department of Agriculture to advise or to assist or then to give funding or to whatever needs to be done to then one of the entities to ensure that we have it. The same with the National Agricultural Marketing Council. I will say it until the next 100 years, if we cannot provide marketing to the small-scale producers and to new farmers, we can just as well leave them. Because people can plant and produce. That's not the difficult thing. The difficult thing is to market. So what is the role in the linkage? And it's things like that, Chair, that I would really be happy if we can at one stage get the department then to explain to us what is the influencing of the Department of Agriculture on the entities, and how far would that reach? It might be a bit more difficult, as the DG explained, with the PPECB, that's actually basically 100% funded by industry and there's no money from agriculture. Maybe we must also look at the funding models then. I don't know if that would form part of the discussions that's currently happening, because it is difficult to tell an entity that's not funded by the department what it is that we want them to do, and that role. So I think it would be a good idea to look at the different entities in their role within the department, because it's not always a good thing just to leave them to do their own thing, especially if it needs to assist agriculture as a whole in South Africa. Same with ARC. I've asked questions in the past to ARC. If you're getting funding from private people, what is your influence in making sure that South Africa as a whole goes into the direction that we all... Because now they're only doing research on things that private individuals ask them to do research on. So where does the Department of Agriculture play a role? We must know. For South Africa, this is the research that must be done, and this is where it's going to happen, either at universities and things like that. I'm really happy that we're having this discussion, Chair, but I think the overarching I take control of this thing must come from this department, and we must roll it out from there.
Thanks for the opportunity, Chair. When the department came to present its APPs a couple of months back, one remark that I made, which to me was important, was that the ministry needs to take a good, close, not long, but close look at the types of entities that it espouses, to see if they are actually relevant to the main objective that the department seeks to achieve, and to see if it still needs all of them, as well as to see if perhaps there is a need to impress upon one or two of them the alignment of their purposes with that of the department. I'm a little bit disappointed when this document seems to be a kind of a run-of-the-mill kind of presentation without addresses those concerns. This is just an operational thing to say, we have got these, this is our offload needs, and so on. I don't even sense that the department has gone that far to see if actually all the entities address or enable or enrich the department's capacity to address its core function. And I would like to know, therefore, if perhaps an exercise to that effect has been done, because this is just an operational thing that has been presented to us. Our main concern is that many South Africans go to bed without food. And this is the department of all 30-something of them that is centrally, almost exclusively entrusted with that responsibility. Now, get a budget as a department and you've got a couple of entities that you share your budget with. How do you make sure with this, through this document and your relationship and engagements with those entities that they speak to that? Because that's what South Africans are expecting to see. And that's our job as the Oversight Committee, to make sure that these entities speak to that language. So, even if it's verbal now, but perhaps in the future I would like to see a document that shows direct link, Minister. And this is an appeal. This is not an affront. This is an appeal for you and your team to make sure that you show us, maybe in subsequent reports or something, that, you know, where entities so-and-so assist us in this respect. Marketing, and so on, production, research, and so on. Let's see that point of convergence. Let's not have to look for it. I've gone through the documents as much as, you know, a portion of it was presented, but I've seen many similar documents, so I had no problem in interpreting what's contained here. I don't see that point of convergence, and this worries us, because there's millions of people that are looking up to you exclusively. Not publicly, not finance, not prison. They look up to you whenever they say, we're going to bed without food. Where's the minister of food? Thank you.
Well, thank you, Chair. Just in short, I think we actually agree, because now, in one way, there are guidance of our national government that are now trying to tell us that what is needed and what is not needed. And then I think those are only documents that will actually assist us in what we need and what we do not need. And then I think we have said in our meeting during the presentation by entities, we were saying if they are able to give us details of what they do to the latter, then it will assist us to monitor them. Now, I think that is what the members are saying, because now, if it comes to maybe somebody who is just new today here and then he come across this, he will still be asking the questions that we asked during the first meeting. So, this is a second meeting or a follow-up meeting on the previous meeting. So, I think people must not be very, very, very worried in giving information. Give it as much as you can, and then if people are saying that's enough, it's too much, let it be, so that it's no more a question now. I think we have said it, we want us to have those things and then talk programs now, so that you have said it, we want to go out there and have the green overalls to see if things are
right.
Not sitting in the
table.
Thank you.
Yes.
No, no, well,
for tomato.
I think we agree, and we are happy that probably the question was not very, very clear to the department as we requested. For instance, Minister, if you that simple issue, if your entities were aligning to your objectives, immediately the President launched the Fetcher Plan, you expected the ARC to lead in research and
you're not supposed to have to wait for this meeting to say now you're going to call and do this and this. So that's why we're saying there is no that alignment, and we want to see that alignment. And because you see, this committee must actually advocate for the 10% funding. So, and if we are not very clear what the department is doing, we would not be able to do that. And you see, in one meeting, Honorable Minister, we're meeting with the company, fishery, they were saying, they raised why trade and industry giving out the boat not to the people that has been allocated rights. So you see those elements. So even the the alignment that we are talking about is even with regard to those departments that are implementing agricultural related programs, activities. So there should not be any department that will go and do something and say agriculture, come follow us. It should be say agriculture will then say here we can plant this and everybody follows. So that's one of the things that we've raised even with the Senator Sala, emphasizing that sometimes the protection of the turf by the officials makes it very difficult for government to achieve the objectives. And we want ministers to help us to pull them through, all of them, so that you are able to achieve the objectives intended to. That was just a mere example that I was trying to give. Honorable Minister.
Thanks. We take this, these questions to mean that our report, while we believe that it was proper, it has not answered the questions that have been raised. And I'm sure the intention was not to give to this committee, because we value your importance in the kind of work we do. And I agree with you, if we're to succeed to get any more funding, it depends on the kind of work that we're giving. I can tell you this, that we have met with all our entities. We are clear on the work they are doing, and we appreciate the stance. For instance, take the one that deals with inspections. They took us through the program they put up in place to improve. And in the meeting I had yesterday with the ambassador, she was so praiseful of them, saying that they have observed that none of our products now are reaching offshore markets in a way that is questionable, and that has made us. It is the work they are doing on the issue of our research broadly. I had a discussion with the Minister of Science and Technology to say we need to make sure that some of our research work is done in conjunction to make sure that we are advanced in dealing with kind of challenges that climate change brings to us. Even if it means the kind of cultivars that we must put in, so that even in areas where we may be challenged, we are able to do those things. And I can assure you that on OPP, we are aware of the programs they are engaged in. A week ago, we were in their facility. We are clear on that there has been funding now put on by Department of Finance to improve their infrastructure. And they are key to the issue that links to small-scale farmers. That instead of buying medicine in other competitors, where you can think buy medicine more than the value of your ship, we need to be dealing with that going forward. So we're clear on all this too. What role is it doing to ensure that our work succeeds? The issue of saying now, if we're going to plant, we should be knowing what kind of seeds we need in this area. What time do you plant? What kind of supplies are you using? Those things are there. It's a question of maybe us going back and ensure that when we come back, we're able to detail what is in the team, what role do they play in the work we plan going forward. So, you don't plant by using a wrong fertilizer type because it's cheaper. You use it because it is based on scientific that in this area you need this for the fertilizer. So I think they've come on board. I'm sure it is of maybe outlining our report in a way that it links in each and every area as to say which entity is of importance. On the issue of, for instance, we're clear of what it means and which one of the entities is dealing with that. And the relationship between our research institute as well as our medicine production, there must be a link as to say, given this situation, what are the scenarios, what challenges are we faced with, what kind of diseases we may encounter, and how does that therefore respond to the kind of medicine we produce. So we need, and if there are breaches of TEF, we'll do that. On the issue of the ministry, of other ministers, ministries, we've got one stand that says we need to engage. And if the issue is like issue of boats being bought, we cannot say don't buy boats. We should be saying before you buy boats, you must be informed onto where are they needed. And we'll engage in it in a way that, and they can say that there is a rapport within ministers. And they see the ultimate. And I can assure you that when we meet, we'll be able to say, we have met with the department in question, this is the way going forward.
Any follow-up? Still have a minute?
But, you know, we have got... Every year we allocate 4 billion to provinces as grants, 1.8 billion on CASP, and this 11.4 billion is over the time span. It's not only that we use in the first season. So spread it in that, but the key to me is how do you make sure that of that 11 billion spent, we can quantify the amount of production achieved and what it has made to our individual farmers in improving and also changing the way they are living. And I agree to say farming is so important such that people, when you give them that access. Yesterday, Shepherdson, we spent the whole day in the department on green overalls, making sure that we promote the essence of tree planting to our communities and focusing. At the end of that, we gave about 100 fruit tree seedlings to households, because that tree may be a source of food within 4 years to come. That family may be able to sell apples and oranges. In the Eastern Cape, the areas I know that oranges would be booming. In the East, I know that goat farming, we need to focus on that. That in some areas we can do that. I agree with you that it, therefore our entities must tell us to say, don't think about maize in this area because it won't succeed. But I don't blame them. We need to interact in a way that in our report we project the work they are doing.
Thank you, Minister and DG. that was the end of the interaction with the department. Minister, you are released with your team, and thank you very much. And probably DG, when you were sent the question, if you are not very clear, just communicate. Let's communicate so that we don't come here and say this is not what we said in future. Just communicate and just to get very clear, because you know, it might be my officials have not communicated properly or have not understood the question, because this is not our language. English is a foreign language, so we might so if we, and then if we meet them, if we communicate, we can then be able to clarify certain issues so that we don't waste time which we don't have, because we've got a lot of work and we don't have much time to deal with this. And Minister, we have seen that you're going to launch harvesting, and we would want
that we will harvest, where are you taking those produce to? So that we can then come back to the house and say we have seen it. As we did with the female entrepreneur of the year. After seeing it, we went back to the house and say we were there, we have seen it. So that's what we want to do. Thank you very much.
Audit. Actually, these are matters arising from the minutes that we are raising. Yes, it's not the one on the auditor to meet with the internal audit is not there, but the issue of the land summit is there. So, we will then correct the minutes by including that we've agreed that there should be the meeting with the internal audit, just to establish the relationship between ourselves and them, so that when the department come in to present, they confirm that they've done the work, because they are accountable too, because they are part of the department. So I think that's what we said. So it should be corrected like that. But on matters arising, which will then include when do we invite them, and the issues of land, the invitation from land rural development, the joint study group, one, the joint committee meeting, portfolio committee meeting, is scheduled to take place on from the 25th, which we have confirmed. But because of it's in between the holiday and other committees had some engagement outside Cape Town, it will then take place in Johannesburg or Pretoria. It's confirmed, so members must just note that. And would actually maybe in the week after next meeting, towards before the end of this term, we must actually get the internal audit just to have a relationship meeting with them. So can we agree on those issues as matters arising from our minutes?
Okay. Honorable Sir.
It's just a matter of clarity. The joint committee's meeting takes place from which date to which date?
From the 25th to the 27th.
Pretoria, Joburg.
Honorable
the only area that with your assistance is not clear if they have agreed. It was the last time I was talking to the chair of land. They were not sure if that will be agreed. They were going to talk to the house chairperson about that. Unless after that you have spoken to her. But if not, let's agree that if arrangements by them are such that we can attend in Pretoria, Joburg, that would be fine because we are running with the thing. That's the understanding.
Yes, no, I agree. We would actually communicate with the chair of rural development, because myself and the chair of water agreed that it should be in Johannesburg, precisely because of it's in between the holidays, and the committee of water already they are in Johannesburg, and for them to travel, it's costly for all of us, including them, rural development, because on Wednesday, they must go to their constituents. Coming back to Cape Town is it's costly, but we'll raise that with the, and I'll assist them to raise it with the chair of chairs. Honorable
Chair, I would now propose that we accept the minutes, if we can just, with the inclusion of the internal audit committee.
Mover for adoption has been done. Any seconder? Thank you very much. Seconded by me from Tongwane. So can we then look at the
invitations. One, we have invitation on the Land Summit. I'm told that we have made an application from the office of the chairperson. So, though we're still waiting for the formal response, we're told that we will be allowed to send only 3 people to ANC and 1 opposition. So the opposition members must agree. Yes, that's the issue, and we are supposed to have sent the nominate the CVs to Albertina for the opening that has been created from NAMAC. So have we done that? You forgotten members. So we're supposed to send the CVs to the minister. Means that today we do not look at the CVs because we have not done that. When is the date? When is the closing date? 12th of September. 12th of September, we still have the Tuesday, the 9th. So to finalize, let's agree that we'll finalize them on the 9th. So membership will have time to send the CVs until the 9th. Can you agree on that? Yes. And means that on Friday, if the we're allowed to go to the summit, we have actually planned for the meeting on Friday. And the summit starts on Friday.
Start from the fourth.
So means that the meeting, the quorum of the meeting, or the 3 people will not be there, which
and I'm going to ask to be excused.
To which one?
Friday.
You are not coming to the meeting.
Yeah,
So means that you are going to have serious problem in terms of the court. We might look at reschedule the meeting. The agenda that we're supposed to deal with is to go to the night. Agreed?
Yes.
Thank you very much. The meeting closed. We can have our lunch. Thank you very much.
Can we meet?